And we're holding on Samach Amud Beis, a little bit past the middle of the Amud. The line begins Shanazu. So nine lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that if a person says Shanazu, he says that I'm also to drink wine or do whatever for this year, also B'chol Shana Kula, then he's also the entire year. But we said that Rosh Hashanah already belongs to the next year, meaning that he's also through Chavtes Elul. As opposed to, by the way, when we said, if he says Shana Achas, if he says that I'm also for 1 year, then it means, in other words, one complete year of 365 or 354 or whatever it is days. So the Gemara says, Yibayahu. So the Chachamim had, the Chachmei HaYeshiva, the Amoroyim had a question. Omar Koinam Yayin She'eni Toim Yoyim. What if he says that a koinam, that I won't taste wine for a day? My din, my. So what would be the din? Dine kahayoyim oy kayoyim echad. Would the din be as if he said today? Would yoyim be the equivalent of saying today? Or would it be the equivalent of saying one day, where today we said last until tesek lechabim, whereas we said that we learned before that Rabbi Yumiya says that midirabanan, we're going to make a gzera and say that he does have to be matu neder if he wants to drink wine after the night after tesek lechabim before the same time the next day, then he'd have to be matu neder because the chachamim are concerned that that hayoyim might be confused with yoyim echad. But in any case, the point is that even if he didn't do that, he certainly wouldn't get malchus if he drank wine after tzeitzik chavim. So now, when he says yoim, would it be the same thing that it means that it's only today and it's mutter, and in principle it's mutter after it gets dark? Or would it have the din of like one day, which means, in other words, that where then he's also for 24 hours. And by the way, I mean, you know, we're not going to say if he says yoim that it means any old day that he wants. You know, once he makes the nedu, he does have the responsibility to mekayim it as soon as possible. So the Gemara knows, obviously, that if he says yoim, it doesn't mean that he can just say, okay, it means some indefinite day in the future. It has to mean that it's going to start now. The question is whether it starts now and goes until tzeis, or whether it means that it starts now and goes for 24 hours. So the Gemara says, Tashma mi masnisin. Well, let's try to prove it from our Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, Koinam yayin shani toim ayoim. Of course, it says a koinam that I won't taste wine today. Ain also elad jitechshach. Then it says he's also only until it gets dark, implying, but if he hadn't used the word hayoim, if he had used the word she'eni toim yayin yoim, then it would be 24 hours. But the Gemara says that's not a proof. Ema seifa, because instead, look at the seifa. The Mishnah continues, omer yoim echad, that if he says yoim echad osim yoim liyoim, then he's also for 24 hours. Hayoim kahayoim gami, implying maybe that if he says yoim without echad, then it just means today. So one way or the other. So obviously you can't prove anything from the Mishnah, because obviously the Mishnah is not addressing our case directly. And one, if you try to derive it from the wording of the Mishnah, then one way or the other, it's kind of falling through the cracks over here. So elam ahol lekel mishma mina. So you're right. You can't prove it anyway, one way or the other. From our, you can't use it. You can't prove it anyway, one way or the other, from our Mishnah. Which one is bediuk? Which one is the language more precise? The ratio or the sefer? So obviously the Mishnah is not formulated like that. So instead we're going to have to try to prove from someplace else. Amud Avashi Toshma. So Avashi says, let's try to bring a proof from a Mishnah later in the Perek, where the Mishnah says Shani Toyim Ashana. The person says a neder that I won't taste wine this year. Nisabra Hashana, then what happens is, if it becomes an Ibuyar, and remember in those times they didn't know in advance whether it's going to be an Ibuyar, the Beis Din would decide it sometime during the year, sometimes even as late as Adar, they could decide. So also Bo, Ivi Ibura, so then he's also not only in the year, he's also in the year, but also in the Ibur month. Now the Ran brings like this. What we're talking about is that suppose he made the neder, let's say, at the beginning of Tishrei. So you would think maybe in that case, then he means to aser himself only for 12 months. Most years, after all, are 12 months. So maybe it would mean he made the neder, let's say, at the beginning of Tishrei. So then he'd be aser for 12 months straight, which would be, which if it's a leap year, would bring him only to the end of Av, not the end of Elul. So Because after all, the Ram says, if he made the neder Rosh Chodesh Shvat, of course, so there, wouldn't it be poshut that when he says Hashana means until the end of this calendar year, and therefore necessarily it's going to include the leap month. Anyway, so the Gemara says, so hechidami. So let's consider the scenario. What exactly is the word that he said? Ilema dekit katoni, does it mean that he used the exact word that it says in the Mishnah? Where he said Shandi Toim Hashana, and we're saying Hashana obviously means this calendar year. So Ilay Mikit Katani, are you gonna say like you're gonna say that he said the words like it says exactly in the Mishnah that he said Hashana? Well, Lamali the Memra, what's the Chiddush? Of course, if he says Hashana, then it means this calendar year. And this calendar year, so okay, we could say that. That it means that, like the Ran said, if it was at the beginning of the year, that we have to know that it includes the leap month as well. But still, why is there such a chiddush in it? Why should we think that it's only 12 months? Hashana should mean this calendar year, so therefore it's going to go until the end of Elul, regardless. And all the more so if, as the Ran says, if the case was that he made the neder in the middle of the year, there's no question it would go till the end of the calendar year. So what is the chiddush in the Mishnah? Ela lav de'amar shana. So evidently we have to change the wording of the Mishnah slightly. It's not that he said shani toyim hashana, that he said that I won't eat it, that I won't drink wine this year, but rather de'amar shana, where he says I won't drink wine for a year. So alma shana kahashana dami. Well, wouldn't that prove that the word shana mean that if he said a koinam that I won't taste wine hashana, then we understand that it means he says shana zu, then it means, if he says shana zu, then we said in our Mishnah that it means until the end of Elul. If he said shana achas, then there's no question it means 12 or 13 months, as the case may be. But now where he said shana, so we say we're hashana, whatever. So alma shana kahashana dami. Therefore, we should say that shana, we should be able to prove from that Mishnah that the word shana is like hashana, which means, in other words, so the Ran says that no. If he had said shana achas, then in fact he would be also only for 12 months. I contained an ibuyur, but no, we would still say most years are 12 months. Therefore, when he says shana achas, it means he's going to be also for 12 months. So if he made the neder, let's say in Shvat, and he said Shana Achas, then yes, he's only going to be Osir until the following Tavis. But now we're saying that not. The Mishnah is telling us it does include the Ibur month, so that necessarily means that we have to consider when he says Shana is as if he says Hashana, meaning this year, which means it's in effect for it includes the Ibur month, and it goes until the end of the calendar year. So therefore, v'yoyim nami kahayoyim dinei. Well, therefore, by analogy, when he says yoyim, should be the same thing as saying hayoyim, meaning today. So therefore, it should be until the end of the day, not 24 hours. So the Gemara answer is loy, not necessarily. La'olam de'omar hashana. No, in fact, you can keep the wording of the Mishnah as it is, where he said hashana, meaning this year. So what's the chiddush of it, you're going to ask? So you're going to still argue that you should go according to the majority of the years, v'loy isbahu ibur, and most years do not have an ibur year. So therefore, regardless, he should never be osir in the 13th month. So even if he said hashana, we should still maybe say that in that case, he doesn't go until the end of the calendar year. He just goes until the end of 12 months into the year, which in the case of a leap year would bring him to the end of Kamash Malan. And therefore you could say that is the chiddush that the Mishnah is telling us, that you don't do that. You always go according to the end of the calendar year. But not necessarily does that mean that saying Hashana is that maybe, in other words, yes, if he said Hashana as in the Mishnah, then it would mean that Hashana is the equivalent of saying this year, so therefore it means till the end of this calendar year. That doesn't show that if a person says Shana, that necessarily it should mean only this calendar year. Maybe it could mean a 12-month year. And therefore it would mean that we'd go from the date that he made the neder until the same date, until the same day of the month, 12 months later. Which again, okay, the Ran is saying that we wouldn't include the 13th month. But so if he made the neder, let's say Rosh Chodesh Shvat in a leap year, then he's not going to be also until Rosh Chodesh Shvat the following year, but only until Rosh Chodesh Tevis. But fine, the point is, though, that we wouldn't necessarily, that's when he says Shana, maybe Shana and Hashana are different. In Rav Ashi's quest, in Rav Ashi's attempted proof, he was trying to say that Shana and Hashana are the same thing, and was saying not necessarily. So the bottom line is, the Ran says, we haven't actually answered the question. So therefore, we have to go l'chumra. A person says that I won't do such and such yoim. And then in fact, he is going to be also 24 hours, which we said in the Mishnah anyway. We said in connection with the Mishnah anyway that even if he says hayoim midrabanan, if he wants to be able to drink wine or whatever after the night begins until that same time the next day, he's going to need Sheilas Chacham. But here we're saying it's more than that. It's not even a matter of needing Sheilas Chacham as a penalty midrabanan, where we learned previously that penalty, the Ran had said that penalty might apply only in the case of a regular neder, which the Chachamim disapprove of. It wouldn't necessarily apply with a neder for a mitzvah because the Chachamim don't disapprove of that, etc. But here we would actually say, when he said yoim, then we would actually hold him to that, maybe not to the extent of Malkus, because the Gemara has left it as a suffix, but to the extent where he would actually be chayev in it for 24 hours. Okay. The Gemara says, here's another case. What happens if he says, I won't taste wine for yoivol? Now, the Ran explains, again, given what we just finished saying, that we can't be sure whether yoim means hayoim or whether it means yoim echad, then obviously if he says yoivol, you would have the same suffix. Does he mean until the end of the current yoivol cycle, or does he mean 50 years? So obviously the Gemara is not going to be bringing up the question again once we left the other question unresolved. Rather, what it is the Ran says, to be more exact, the person said that I won't taste wine for Yovel Zeh, for this Yovel cycle. So now the question, and Tosfos explains, in other words, so we could be talking about that, let's say that he made the neder in the middle of the, he could be, let's say, halfway through the Yovel cycle. It could be, let's say, the 24th or 25th. Year of the Yovel cycle. So now the question is, obviously he's going to be also up to the coming Yovel, because he said Yovel Zeh, but the question is, the question would be, Shnas Chamishim, Kelifnei Chamishim, or Kelacha Chamishim? What happens when it comes to the actual Yovel year, the 50th year? Does it count as being part of the cycle before it, or the cycle after it? So he made the neder. So in other words, the question is, does the Yovel count as the end of the current cycle, or does it count as the beginning of the next cycle? So the Gemara says, Toshma, the Tanya, Plukta de Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. In fact, we learn in this connection, a Machloikas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, about how you count Yovelus in the first place, and that Machloikas is going to bear on what we just talked about. If we say, that when we think about it like this, So we're going to explain now in the Gemara, but to give the background to explain it mathematically, it's like this. We know the Torah tells us you have to count 49, you count seven cycles of Shemitah, which is 49 years, then you make a Yovel. Now, what is that Yovel year is the 50th year. Now, what is that? Now, after that, after Yovel, of course, you're going to be continuing to count Shemitah for the next cycle of Shemitah and so forth. The question is, does that Yovel year count as the beginning, as also the beginning of the next Shemitah cycle, or is it not? Does it stand by itself? So in other words, year 49 is Shemitah, year 50 is Yovel, fine. What happens what happens now? So now, when it comes a few years later, when it comes to, do we say that year 56 is Shemitah, because 49 was Shemitah, and 7 years later is the next Shemitah, which brings us to 56? Or do we say that, no, the Yovel breaks up the count, the Yovel itself does not count as part of any seven-year cycle, so the next seven-year cycle begins in year 51 and runs through year 57. So 57 then would be a Shemitah. And then and the same thing as we go along. So eventually, as we go along, you're going to have, let's say, when it comes to the second Yovel, is the second Yovel year 99, meaning 98 is going to be Shemitah and 99 Yovel, or is it that, Or is it that in fact 99 is going to be Shemitah and 100 is going to be Yovel? And so it goes throughout all the years. So now this is actually Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Namely, a Braisa says, when the Pasuk says, V'kidashtem as Shnasa Chamishim Shana, the Pasuk says you should make the 50th year holy. That means Shnasa Chamishim Atamoina. That means you count the 50th year as Yovel. V'i Atamoina Shnas Chamishim V'achas. You don't count that year, though, as the 50th and as the first. There's actually, this Gemara is brought in a few other places as well. We had it in Rosh Hashanah. We had it in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, so a little over a year ago. And then there actually Tosfos brought a girsa that really it's supposed to be Shnas Chamishim Achas, without the Vav, meaning that the Braisa is saying you don't count the year 50 as year one of the next Shemitah cycle. Mikan Omru Yovel Eino Oila L'minyan Shavua. Based on that, the Chachamim said, based on explaining the Pasuk that way, it means that Yovel does not count as part of the cycle of Shemitahs, meaning, like we said, year 50 is Yovel, year 50 is not also year one of Shemitah, but rather it stands by itself. The first year of the next Shemitah cycle is year 51. So therefore, 57 is going to be Shemitah, and 64 and so forth, up to 99, and then 100 will be Yovel. So that's according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yovel Olam Minyan Shavua. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Yovel does count as the first year of the next cycle. So he doesn't douse in the pasuk that way. Now before we get further into that machlokas and understanding their respective opinions and how they derive them from the psukim, so the point is, in other words, relating to our Gemara, then the Chachamim who say that the Yovel is exclusively the end of the previous cycle and not the beginning of the next cycle, they are going to say, therefore, that a person makes a neder that I won't have wine during this Yovel cycle, that includes the Yovel year itself. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the Yovel also belongs to the next year's cycle, then according to him, the Yovel is not going to count for that purpose as part of this year, as part of this cycle. So therefore, he will be mutter once the year before Yovel is over. So the Gemara continues. Omer loyal Rabbi Yehuda. So they asked Rabbi Yehuda, how could you say that the Yovel counts as the first year of the next cycle? The pasuk says for 6 years you should plant your fields. Now according to you, every so often there's only going to be 5 years, because let's consider according to Rabbi Yehuda, 49 is Shemitah, 50 is Yovel. According to him, 50 is also year one of the new Shemitah and the new Yovel cycle. Well, therefore, that means, so now you can't plant in Yovel year either. So therefore, according to him, all you have is 51, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 56 is already Shemitah again. So you have only 5 years to plant. If the Torah is telling us that you always have 6 years to plant, then that has to mean that the Yovel doesn't count as part of the Shemitah cycle. According to the Chachamim, it works out very nicely. 50 is Yovel, 49 is Shemitah, 50 is Yovel, 51, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 are regular years, and 57 is Shemitah. So then, so how can you say otherwise? Amalahem, so he answers back, L'divreichem, nu, and according to your Shita, Hareho Omer v'osis is atvur l'shloish hashonim, in Parashas Bahar, same place, where it talks about the you're going to say manocha b'shona ashvius, what are we going to eat during the seventh year if we can't plant and harvest our crops? And the pasuk says, Hashem says, I'll give a bracha v'osis is atvur l'shloish hashonim, that the land will produce food for 3 years. Now, what are the 3 years? So you have, it has to produce for itself, the sixth year itself, of course, you need what to live off of. You also need for the seventh year, Shemitah. You also need for the eighth year, because usually what happens is you plant your crops during 1 year and you harvest them at the beginning of the next year. But now, if you can't plant them during Shemitah, then you have nothing to harvest in the eighth year either. So therefore, so the Pasuk is saying that the produce of the sixth year will be so much that it'll supply you for the sixth and seventh and the eighth year until you have, and eventually there comes the point in the eighth year when you plant, and later on that year you start having a harvest. So therefore, towards the end of that year you'll be eating your regular crops again. Or actually the pasuk says until the beginning of the ninth year, because in other words, so you'll have the full sixth, seventh, and eighth year. At the beginning of the ninth year is when you're gathering in the crops that were planted and harvested during the eighth year, because you'll leave them out in the field to dry during the summer. Anyway, the point is, Rabbi Yehuda is saying to the Chachamim, so you always have So according to you, so now he's saying that according to you, you're arguing that the pasuk has to be talked about, the psukim have to be talking about the way it is always. But the fact of the matter is, when, consider what happens when you have a yovel after a shemitah, then you have 2 years in succession where you can't plant. So then you should have to have, the pasuk should be saying that sometimes it supplies you for 4 years. Namely, if you have, so let's say your crops that you planted during the 48th year, which is the sixth year of the shemitah cycle, that's going to have to supply you for year 48 and 49, which is shemitah, and 50, which is yovel, and 51, which is the year after yovel, because again, if you can't plant during yovel, then you have nothing to gather in during the year after yovel. So, and yet the pasuk doesn't, it just says 3 years, which means, in other words, you would say, in other words, Torah ala rov to dabur. Torah is talking about the majority of cases. In fact, Rashi mentions that on the pasuk. So therefore, so when Rabbi Yehuda is saying, according to the Chacham Divrei Chem, he doesn't mean, in other words, that according to me, you wouldn't have that question. What he's saying is, according to me, I don't have the question b'chlal, because I don't hold that the Torah has to be covering every possible case. The Torah is talking about the normal case, and we're meant to understand that there are exceptions. Normally, you have 6 years to plant between one enforced rest and the next. Sometimes you only have five, namely when there's a yovel. But you, Chachamim, who are arguing that you always have to have, the Pasuk is saying 6 years, so you always have to have 6 years. Well, then according to you, how are you going to understand the Pasuk about the three years worth of crops, according to both my opinion and yours, sometimes you're going to need four. So obviously you have to say that the Shlosh Hashanim refers to other parts of the Shemitah cycle, meaning a regular Shemitah, when you don't have a Yovel after it, and then therefore you tackle only need 3 years, the sixth, seventh, and eighth. Well, then in my case also, you asked me, how comes it that you're saying the Pasuk says, Shesh Shanim Tizra Sadecha, and according to me, every so often, there are only 5 years, I would say, it doesn't matter. It means that, it means most of the time you have 6 years. Every so often, you'll have only 5 years, but I don't consider that something that the Pasuk needed to bother informing us. So therefore, so the bottom line is, again, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Yovel does not interrupt the Shemitahs. According to the Chachamim, it does. Therefore, according to the Chachamim, the Yovel belongs to the end of the previous cycle, and therefore the person makes a neder, I won't drink wine during this Yovel cycle, that includes that the Yovel year itself, whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would not, because already the Yovel year belongs also to the next cycle.
Because he said something about the years? Why?
No, because he said that I won't drink wine during this Yovel, meaning this Yovel cycle. So therefore, so we're saying, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Yovel itself already belongs to the next cycle. So he's going to be also up till the end of the year before Yovel. Whereas according to Chacham, he's going to be also up to the end of the Yovel year itself.
The Yovel, again, it's 50 years.
Right? The Yovel is the 50th year, yeah.
Okay, so...
He made a nether here. You understand? Maybe then sit in another row.
The Pasuk says, V'kidashtem.
The Pasuk Kiddushtem means Hamishim Shana, right? According to Rabbi Yehuda.
Right. So one second. The Kiddushtem. So if it's Kodesh, it cannot be Chol. And if it's Chol, it cannot be Kodesh. Both cannot coexist together.
Who said anything about it being Chol? All it is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it also counts as the first year of the next cycle, meaning that the next Shemitah is going to be 5 years later, rather than 6 years later.
Cannot be at the same time a Yovel, because the Yovel is Kodesh, isn't it?
The Yovel is Kodesh, according to the Yehuda. It's also the first year of the next cycle. However, it's a year and you still can't plant and plow. So therefore, it is Kodesh.
But that's the problem. That's the question. The Kiddushta, Vivdalta, it has to be separate. Kodesh and Chol cannot coexist.
First of all, it doesn't say Vivdalta. It says the Kiddushtim. Very well, the Kiddushtim, you make it holy. You don't plow and plant and whatever during it, but you also count it as the first year of the next Shemitah cycle, in the sense that the next Shemitah is going to be only 6 years later instead of seven. What's the problem? You're not actually making it Chol. You're making it Kodesh, but you're counting it inclusively, and you're saying that it counts at the beginning of the next Shemitah cycle. So now, in fact, when it comes to, you have the question who the halacha is like. Usually, when we have a machloikas yochid berabim, usually the halacha would be like rabbi. In that case, the halacha would be like the chachamim. So the Rambam in Hilchos Shemitah v'Yovel discusses this, and of course, many Rishonim and Achronim also discuss it. in principle, the halacha should be like the chachamim. And the Rambam writes that during the time when the Beis Mikdash is standing, that's how it was. So therefore, the Yovos would interrupt the Shemitah count. On the other hand, the Rambam says that we have a Masoda from the Gaonim and also the people of Eretz Yisrael follow this, that when the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, we follow Rabbi Yehuda and we don't count Yovos as interrupting the Shemitahs. So therefore, the result is that every 7 years, a Shemitah without a break. It comes out, according to the Rambam's calculations, if we held like the Chachamim, we would have said that based on the way that Rambam calculates it, the cycle of Shemitahs and Yovos was started again when the second Beis Mikdash was built, a few years after it, when Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael. According to the Rambam's calculations, we would say that the last Yovel year would have been Tufshin Samach Hei. Then every 7 years after that would be Shemitah. So therefore, the last two Shemitahs would have been Tufshin Ayin Beis and Ayin Tes. And we'd now be in Tufshin Pei Gimel. Now we'd be in the fourth year of a Shemitah cycle. On the other hand, again, the Rambam says that Masoda of the Gaonim and of Bnei Eretz Yisrael, who actually are for whom Shemitah is obviously Negea on a practical level, they learn and they have the Kabbalah and the Gemara and Avodah Zarah seems to bear this out and so forth. That in the time when the Beis Mikdash is destroyed, we do not follow the Chachamim, we follow Rabbi Yehuda, therefore, because that's how it is. So therefore, the Shemitahs follow one another without a break, there's no Yovels. Therefore, according to that calculation, there is no Yovel now, and the last Shemitah comes out to have been Tufshin Pei Beis, such that now we're in the year after a Shemitah, which is why we call it the year of Hakel. Because the Hakel would take place in the year after, the Shemitah. Had we followed the Chachamim, according to the Rambam's understanding of them anyway, we would have said that Tufshin Pei would have been a year of Hakko, because Ayin Tes would have been a Shemitah.
We would think that this year is a...
If we went according to the Chachamim, then now would be the middle of the Shemitah cycle.
Really?
Yeah. On top of that, there's also a big machlokas among the Rishonim, how we calculate what year was the Beis Mikdash actually destroyed, which then affects the question of when the Shemitah cycle starts, which the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah that the Beis Mikdash was destroyed in the year after the Shemitah. So you have a huge machlokas within that itself. What exact year was the Beis Mikdash, was the second Beis Mikdash destroyed, which also affects the question of when Shemitah would be. So you have a few different opinions within that itself. The practical halacha is decided according to the opinion that the Rambam explains that actually the Beis Mikdash was destroyed at the end of a year of Shemitah. It's called Metzori Shemitah because within 2 months after the Churban already began the next year, because the Churban was on Tisha B'Av. Mm-hmm. So we calculate according to that, right. And the consensus in the end of the poskim is to follow that, and therefore it's on that basis that we say that this past last year, Tufshin Pei Beis, was a Shemitah. Okay. Mind you, by the way, you often have people say that all you have to do is take the year, the Yetzirah, and divide it by seven, and then you know what year Shemitah is. It comes out that way, but it only happens to come out that way. Strictly speaking, that's not what it's based on. It's actually based on a count of years from Uri in the time of the second Beis Mikdash. It so happens that it comes out the way we count years, the Yetzirah, that comes out that you can divide them evenly by seven and get it that way.
So we go strictly according to the Rambam.
So we go according to the Rambam and many other...
Ramban agree with that also?
I don't know if the Ramban agrees, but the Lamaisa, there are many Rishonim and Achronim who discuss the point, but the consensus in the end is that the Rambam is not only saying his own shitta, he's also describing the way that they do it, practically speaking, in Eretz Yisrael. The few, whatever Jewish farmers there were in Eretz Yisrael in his times followed Shemitah, according to that. And that's a powerful thing that Rambam says. The way that people do things practically is a very powerful thing in determining what the halacha is. Okay. Worth mentioning in this connection, by the way, yet another way of understanding Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Yerushalmi mentions an interesting idea, an interesting understanding of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which actually now our Gemara clearly disagrees with it, but nonetheless, it is Yerushalmi and it's worth learning, which is Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Shemitah and all this time we've been saying that Shemitah and Yovel follow one another in succession. So all it is Rabbi Yehuda is saying that the second time around, Yovel is, Shemitah is 98 and Yovel is 99. And the Chachamim are saying it's 99 and 100 respectively. And the next time around, it would be the same thing. The Chachamim are going to say that Shemitah is 149 and Yovel is 150. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is going to say Shemitah is 147 and Yovel is 148 and so forth. But they're always in succession. The Yerushalmi learns, means one after the other. The Yerushalmi learns Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and there are Achronim, though. Sameach, for example, comes up with this independently that says that no, Rabbi Yehuda would say the Shemitah and the Yovel are not at all, they don't have to be one next to the other at all. According to him, Yovel is every 50 years, but since the Yovos don't break up the Shemitah cycle, what will happen is, according to him, the first time, sure, you're going to have 49 is Shemitah, 50 is Yovel. The second time around now, he's going to say 98 is Shemitah, 99 is nothing special, 100 is Yovel. The next time around, 147 will be Shemitah, 148 and 149 will be nothing, and 150 will be Yovel. So it comes out, according to him, that the Yovel is not, according to the Yerushalmi's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, the Yovel is not, only once every 350 years is the Yovel going to be right after Shemitah, the way that we usually think of it. But all the other times, it's going to be, it could be in the same year of Shemitah, conceivably, according to him.
It could be every, the same year of Shemitah.
Think of it. Think of it. Year 350, according to him, year 350 from when they started the count, according to him, is going to be both Shemitah and Yovel. Right. It'll be the 50th Shemitah as well as the 7th Yovel. Yeah.
When is the next Yovel?
So again, according to when you ask when's the next Yovel, again, if we go according to the Chachamim, then the next Yovel would be tough Tesvav, 5815, because 50 years, 15, because it would be 50 years after 5765. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and again, the Rambam says, practically speaking, now we follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, then there is that it's meaningless to talk about when the Yovel is now, because we don't count it anyway. By the way, the Rambam does mention in Hilchos Malachim, when Mashiach, or actually in Hilchos Shemitah Yovel, he says, when Mashiach comes, and should be in Heidav Yameinu, which should be right now, then we are going to start a new count. So we're not going to say, so let's say Mashiach comes this year. We're not going to say, I mean, it is the year after Shemitah anyhow, but we're not going to say it's the year after Shemitah only because last year was Shemitah. We're going to say it's going to be the first year of the Shemitah cycle because we're now redeclaring a new cycle of Shemitahs. If let's say Chas V'Shalom, it happens that Mashiach comes only next year, then we would say that next year, Tovshin Pei Dalet, would be the first year of a Shemitah cycle. And so
when would be Yovel then?
So then Yovel would be 50 years after that.
50 years after
50 years after that. That's how Yovel works. Yeah.
The patient.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. But you know what? We know what the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin. You see the importance of learning Torah in a way even greater than doing mitzvahs. It took over 100 years after they were given the mitzvah of Yovel before they actually had the chance to observe it. From Matan Torah until the very first Yovel in Eretz Yisrael. Remember, they spent 40 years in the desert, 14 years conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael. Only then did they start the Shemitah and Yovel cycle. So therefore, it came out that the first Yovel was 64 years after they entered Eretz Yisrael, which is adding to the 40 years in the desert, comes out as 104 years after Matan Torah is when they first had the opportunity to observe the mitzvahs of Yovel. So yeah, you have to be patient. Anyway, okay, let's go on. Okay, the Gemara said, the Mishnah had said, Ada Pesach also, follow. We said that if a person says that he's also in something until Pesach, so then it meant he's also only until Pesach begins. But on the other hand, if he said Ad Sheyehei, if he says until Pesach is, then he's also until the end of Pesach, because in other words, it implies as long as Pesach is in existence. But then there was a machlokas. What if he said Ad Pnei HaPesach? What if he said until the face of Pesach?
What does it mean?
So there's three. The Rosh had explained on the Mishnah that there's three different ways of understanding what that could mean. It could mean until Pesach shows its presence, which means, in other words, until Pesach begins. It can mean as long as Pesach's presence is shown, which means until the end of Pesach. Or it could mean until the end of the days of Chol HaMoed, but not including the last day of Yom, not including the last day or 2 days of Yom Tov. The logic of that would be that it means until there is an important part of Pesach left. So you could say it means until Pnei the Yomim HaChronim, until the face, until the appearance of the last days of Yom Tov. So we said in the Mishnah that Reb Meir held that he's also only until Pesach begins, and Reb Yossi says he's also until Pesach ends. So the Gemara says, Lememra, does that mean that a Meir Sava Lema'ayot Inish Nafshel Sveka? Does that mean that Reb Meir would hold that a person does not bring himself into a suffix? In other words, that Reb Meir would say when a person uses an expression like that, which is ambiguous, he doesn't want to include anything that might be a suffix. So therefore, he only means to include the part that would be also bevadai, which means only until the beginning of Pesach, because that's for sure included in Ad Pnei Pesach. Whereas Reb Yossi will hold, a person will do that. A person might well say something that includes the suffix as well, and therefore we might hold him to the suffix. Or a mini. But the Gemara says, I have a contradiction to that. A Mishnah says in Kiddushin, A man has two sets of daughters from two different wives. Now, the case can be, we're going to be talking about Kiddushin, so we have to either be talking about where all of them are still Ktanis, or Nairus, where he has the ability to be Mekadosh them, or it could be actually, the Tosfos points out, it could also be that actually the Rosh points out that it could be that that they are gdolus and they gave him permission to mekadesh them to accept kedushin on their behalf. Whatever the case, so he has two wives. Each of them had an older and a younger daughter. And now what happens is the Omar's
younger.
So each one has an older and a younger daughter. So in other words, he had two wives, Rachel and Leah. With Rachel, he had two daughters, Dina. With Rachel, he had two daughters, Dina and Osnas. With Leah, he had two. With Leah, let's say he had two daughters, Dina and Osnas. With Rachel, he had two daughters, call them Yocheved and Miriam. So V'omar. So now he says, Kidashti es biti agdola. I've accepted kiddushin on behalf of my older daughter. Now it could mean that the any idea, but he says, I don't know. Now it could mean that he didn't know at the time, or it could mean maybe that he knew and then he forgot. You have actually a machlokas abaya and rava in kedushin about what's called kedushin shel nimsir labia. If you have a case of kedushin where it's going to be impossible on the basis of this kedushin for them to be able to be allowed to have relations, namely, for example, a classic case would be the case that they argue about is, let's say you have two sisters. Where you have two sisters, and a man goes over to the both of them, and he says, "I'm the Kaddish one of you," and he didn't specify which one. So now he can't actually marry and have relations with either one of them, because either one could be his wife's sister. It could be that he was Mekadosh Rachel, and therefore Leah is off limits to him. It could be that he was Mekadosh Leah, and Rachel is off limits to him. Can such a kedushin be valid? You have machlokas Abaya and Rava about it.
You don't have to give them both again.
So if we say that's a valid condition, you have to give them both again. If you say that the condition are not chal in the first place, then no get is needed. So now a buyer holds that such a thing is valid condition. Therefore, they're going to need a get. Rava holds it's not valid condition in the first place. Therefore, if we take this Mishnah that we're quoting over here, according to Abaya, we can say that it means that he never knew in the first place which one he was Mekadosh. That he was Mekadosh one of them, but he's not sure. He never specified at the time which one. If we're going to go like Rava, then we would say it would have to mean that he specified at the time, but now he's saying he forgot.
Okay, now question is, we said a big one or a small one. Small one, he can't even catch because the father.
Again, we're talking about the father himself saying. Okay. The father is saying I accepted Kiddushin on behalf of one of them. So again, it could be that they're actually Ktanos, and therefore he has the ability still to be Mekadosh, to accept Kiddushin on their behalf. Or it could be even that they're Gdolos, but they gave him permission to accept on their behalf. Anyway, so he says, I was Mekadosh, my Biti Agdola, my older daughter, the Eni Yadeya in Gdolos of Gdolos, but I don't know. Meaning again, according to Abaya, it could be even he didn't know at the time. According to Rava, it would have to be that he knew and then he forgot. Whether it was the oldest of the older set, so he has the older set and the younger set. Does it mean the oldest out of all the four girls? Or maybe it means the older one in the younger set. So then in the younger set, you have Yocheved and Miriam, let's say. Yocheved is older. So maybe he means her because she is older than her younger sister. Or maybe it means the younger one of the first set. She Gdolim and Agdolim Shabbatanis, where after all, she's older than the older one from the young, than the older one from the younger set. So in our example over here, you know, you've got Dina and Osnas from the first wife. Dina is older, Osnas is younger, but still Osnas is older relative to Yocheved and Miriam. Yeah. So Kulan Asuris, Divrei Rav Meir, Chutz Min Ktanos Shebaktanos. So according to Rav Meir, three out of the four of them are going to be Osir. The only one who is going to be Mutter would be the youngest of the younger set. So according to him, only because she for sure can't be called Gdola. Miriam for sure can't be the Gdola because she's definitely the youngest out of the four of them. But any of the other three conceivably could be considered under Gdola.
What's three out of four?
Sorry. Meaning, in other words, the oldest of the both ones from the first set, Dina and Osnas from the first wife, as well as Yocheved from the second wife, because each one of them is older than the next girl after her.
They're going to be puzzled.
So they're not puzzled, but in other words, we're going to have a suffix Kiddushin on them, and therefore they're going to need a get. On the other hand, Rav Yossi, I'm a kulan mutaris, chutzman agdolos shebagdolos. On the other hand, Rav Yossi says all of them are going to be mutter, except for the oldest of all of them, the older one of the older set. meaning, yeah. So according to him, only Dina will be ulcer.
Why? Because Oliver because you go to that.
Because so on the face of it. So on, no, one second. Hold on. On the face of it, what the Gemara is assuming over here is that when he says the word gedola, there is a certain ambiguity to it. But Reb Meir therefore is saying that we have to say that when he said the word gedola, he meant to include any possible one who could conceivably be called gedola in any way. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, not he would only mean the one who unequivocally can be called gedola, who is gedola relative to all the other ones. So in other words, the result would be that Reb Meir would say. So Reb Meir would say, Mochis inish nafshel sveka, ma'ayil inish nafshel sveka, that a person will bring himself into a situation of suffering. Having used the word gdola, it can conceivably mean anyone who would be included under the term gdola. Whereas according to Reb Yossi, no, we would say that it includes only the one who unquestionably is gdola, not anyone that might be considered gdola, only the one that definitely is gdola, which is the older one of the older set. Now, the problem with that is that directly contradicts our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah, it's the other way around. When he says ad pnei Pesach, and Reb Meir says he's also only until Pesach begins, and Reb Yossi says he's also until Pesach ends, that means that Reb Yossi is saying that his words pnei Pesach, which could conceivably mean until the end of Pesach, as long as Pesach is showing its presence, then we have to say that it includes that part, it includes the entire Pesach misafik, and Reb Meir is saying that not. So Reb Meir and Reb Yossi are switching around their opinions. Do we say that a person puts himself in a situation of suffik or not?
You don't say that the difference when it comes to Kedusha.
No, you're not going to say the difference in Kedusha and Nedarim. Both of them are Daraisa. So the Gemara answers, So Rav Chanina Bar Avdimi tells us in the name of Rab, in fact, you have to switch around the opinions. In fact, Reb Meir would be the one. In fact, you switch around the opinions. And on Mishnah, Reb Meir would be the one who says that he's also until Pesach is over. And Reb Yossi would be the one who says that he's only also until Pesach begins. Sometimes you have. Sometimes the Gemara will often do that. But we're based on. We have two Mishnayas that seem to contradict one another, or a Mishnah and a Brisa or whatever. So therefore, we have no choice but to flip them around. One second. And the Gemara says, "Vahotanya." And in fact, we learn a Brisa that bears that out, because a Brisa says, "Kol zehaklal." Here's the general rule. Kol shizmanu kavua, anything which has a fixed time, but omer ad lifnei, and he says until lifnei, or really until pnei, until the face of it comes. Reb Meir omer ad sheyetziv, Reb Yossi omer ad sheyagia. Then Reb Meir says it applies until it ends, and Reb Yossi says until it begins. So that's exactly the opposite of the way we have it in the Mishnah. So given that we have a braisa where it has the opinions the other way around, we have a right to say that in fact, in our Mishnah, the Tanya flipped around the opinions, but really they are supposed to be Reb Meir would be Machmir and Reb Yossi would be Maple. And therefore, it would be exactly the same as in the case of the Kiddushin, where we would say, therefore, that Reb Meir is Machmir and says that three out of the four girls are Mekodesh Pesafik, and according to Reb Yossi, only the one out of the four. Now, what comes out as the practical halacha? So the Ran says, it's true that in our Gemara, we're saying that we flip around the opinions. Now, in fact, the Gemara in Kiddushin, when it discusses this Mishnah, does the other way around. It brings our Mishnah in Nedarim and asks from it. And first, the Gemara tries to say over there also that you flip them around, like we're saying over here. But then the Gemara continues there in Kiddushin, which something that it doesn't have over here. In Kiddushin, the Gemara says you don't have to flip them around because it's not really a question of whether a person allows himself to be in a situation of suffix. It's really a matter of what does the loshen mean? What does pnei ha-pesach mean? Does pnei ha-pesach mean until before Pesach begins? So pnei would be like lifnei. Or Reb Yossi would say that it means until Pesach is removed. The word pnei can also mean to remove, like v'anechi pinisi abayis. Lavan says to Eliezer, I've removed all of the getchkes and whatever from the house. So the word pona can also mean to remove. Ki pona yom, we have in ne'ilah, for example. So therefore, pnei ha-pesach can mean until Pesach is removed, meaning until it's over. So it's not really a matter of, according to the Gemara in Kiddushin, it's not necessarily a matter of whether a person allows himself to be in a situation of suffix. It's rather, what does the actual phrase pnei ha-pesach mean? Well, in that case, then you don't have a contradiction between Reb Meir and Reb Yossi's opinion here and there. The result would be Therefore, that in the case, the result would be that we would say in our Mishnah, after all, Rabbi Yossi would be the one who's Mako, and the result would be that Rabbi Meir would be the one in our Mishnah who's Mako and allows the neder to be overcome the beginning of Pesach, and Rabbi Yossi would be the one who's Machmir. Now, when we have a Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. However, the Ran says, it is true that we have that sugya in Kiddushin that mentions that. On the other hand, here we're in Nedarim, which is the main place we're talking about Nedarim. In Kiddushin, it's only mentioned Agav Gemara. So therefore, we have more reason to follow our Gemara over here when it comes to establishing the correct text of our Mishnah rather than a Gemara someplace else in Kiddushin. So therefore, and plus we have the Braisa backing it up. Therefore, the Ran says, according to the Rambam, the halacha, in fact, would be like Rabbi Meir, that he's only also until the beginning of Pesach. On the other hand, the Ramban disagrees and says, given that we do have that Gemara in Kiddushin that says you don't have to flip him around, meaning that Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah is the one who's Machmir, and Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Yossi, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, the result is that in fact he would be also until the end of Pesach. So it's a machlokas we showed him. It's a machlokas the Rambam and the Ramban, whether he's going to be also until the beginning of Pesach or like Rabbi Meir or until the end of Pesach like Rabbi Yossi.
So what's the maskana? If you could,
the bottom line is that you have a machlokas we showed him who the halacha is like. So you'll look in Shulchan Aruch and you'll see both opinions over there, okay. And you'll mustama have to be machmer according to the stricter opinion. But if a person goes according to the more lenient opinion, you can't say it's chayav malchus.
What's the main opinion?
It's not a matter of main opinion. When it comes to machlokas rishonim, generally speaking, we don't have a higher authority to tell us the halacha is like one or the halacha is like the other.
It's the law.
We have the two opinions. You have to respect both of them. Sometimes we do. Sometimes the consensus of later poskim is like one versus the other based on proofs or whatever it is. But very often we say that it's an open machlokas we're showing him and there's nothing we can do
so
about
what's
it.
What's
the halacha? The halacha would be you look in Shulchan Aruch. The halacha would be you look in Shulchan Aruch, you'll find both opinions over there. So therefore, you're gonna have to follow both opinions and say that he's also in the Lachumra and say that he has to go till the end of Pesach.
Okay.
Mishnah says, Ada Kotzer, Ada Botzer, Ada Mosik. Now, till now we've been talking about a person says that he's also in something, let's say, until Pesach. Now what happens is where Pesach is a defined date in the year. What happens, for example, if he says that I'll be also in something until the harvest? Hakotzer means the grain harvest. Ada botzer, or until the grape harvest. Ada mosik, or until the olive harvest. In English, we use the word harvesting for all of them. In Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh, you have different words for harvesting different kinds of crops. Anyway, so those, eina also ela an shiagia, then he's only also until that season begins. There you don't have the machlokas, whether it means until the beginning or the end. So because the Mishnah says, zahaklal, here's the general rule. Kol shez mane kavua, when you have a fixed date for something, for example, Pesach, va'omer ad shiagia, and he says that he's also until it comes, until it arrives, also ad shiagia, that he's also only until it arrives. So in the case of Pesach, for example, he's only also until the end of the day, erev Pesach. Omer ad shiyehe, also ad shiyetze. And if he says ad shiyehe, until it will be, then he's also until that yom tov or occasion or whatever is over. We said that in the previous Mishnah. And everybody would agree to that. Sheyehei means until it is, meaning yeah, until it passes. As long as it's still during Pesach. Yeah. Pesach is still. So therefore, yeah. If he says I'm shnei, then he'd have the machlokes. V'chol she'ein zmanei kavua. But if you don't have a fixed time for something, for example, the harvest, it begins at a slightly different time every year. Bein oma ad sheyehei, bein oma ad sheyagia. Then it doesn't matter what lashon he used. Ein also al ad sheyagia. Then he's also only until it arrives, meaning until the beginning of it, he's not also through the entire season. And the Ran explains the reason is because it's one thing, for example, Pesach, a person knows how long Pesach lasts. So he knows, for example, he might be asserting himself, let's say, for an extra 7 or 8 days or something. But the harvest, you never know how long it's going to last. So therefore, we don't assume that a person is going to make himself an open-ended neder where he has no way of knowing where in advance how long it's going to last for.
The season of harvesting, you don't know.
Well, you know, it's approximately, but it's going to be different every year, depending on the size of the crop, depending on other factors. The Ran brings in this connection an interesting question from the Yerushalmi. What if a person makes, for example, a person sets a date for his son's wedding, let's say, and he says a neder that I'm going to be osir until it says until the wedding takes place. Do we consider that Zmane Kavua? Because he already sent out the invitations with a date on them. Or after all, he could postpone it. So therefore, maybe it's the equivalent of the harvest, because the same way as you do have a normal day when you begin the harvest, but you could always delay it by a couple of days if it's not convenient or whatever. So maybe the same thing over here. And the Yerushalmi leaves the question open, which again, the Ram says means we'd have to be machmer on it. So even so, in other words, if you set an actual date, you set the wedding, let's say Chamish Asav Shvat, and you say I'm also until Chamish Asav Shvat, no question, of course, comes Chamish Asav Shvat Yomoter. But if you said I'm going to be Asur and such until the date of my son's wedding, does that mean the date that he sent out on the invitation, or does it mean that maybe it would be So in other words, the question rather would be, is it going to be Asur on that date itself or not? The same way as if he had said that I'm also Adchi Yehei HaPesach, Adchi Yehei HaPesach, and he's also until Pesach is over, would we say the same thing? If he says Adchi Yehei Mishtebni, would it mean he's also till the end of the wedding, or would he be also only to the beginning? Mishnah continues, Ad HaKayitz. Now, suppose a person says the neder that he's not going to drink wine or do whatever until Kayitz. Or he says Adchi Yehei HaKayitz, until the Kayitz is. Now, we use the word Kayitz to mean the summer. However, strictly speaking, the meaning of kayitz means summer fruit. So it means, in other words, it's the time of year when people are gathering summer fruit. So ad sheyaschilu ha'am lahachmis b'kalkolos, it means that it goes until the time when people start gathering the figs and putting them in baskets. The Ran explains it's called kayitz, meloshin katsitza, meloshin cutting them, because you cut them off the tree using knives or machetes or whatever. So therefore, again, we're saying that when you have something where the time of it is not defined, every year it's slightly different, then you say that ad or yehei means until it begins. Well, then what is considered the beginning of kayitz for this purpose is when people start harvesting the figs and putting them in baskets. You have actually a posik in Amos. You have a nevuah of Amos where Hashem shows him klov kayitz, a basket of summer figs, and Hashem asked him Hashem asks Amos, what do you see? He says, I see a basket of figs. So Hashem says, this is a simen. Kayitz is related to the word kates, cutting off an end. It means that Hashem is saying, I've had it with the aseres hashvatim. Their end is now if they don't do tshuva. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we see, in other words, there's a connection between kates, between cutting off or an end, and kayits, and then summer fruit. Yeah. He was a navi. Yeah. So you often have where Hashem will show the navi instead of showing him the message. Sometimes Hashem will show the navi a picture, and then Hashem will explain to the navi what the picture signifies. You find that with almost every year. You find that with Yirmiyah. You find that with other.
Which navi was this?
This was almost. One of the Chiriyos. Okay. Anyway, it continues the Mishnah. Ad sheyaver hakayitz. What if he says until the kayitz has ended? Then you have a later time. It means ad sheyakpilu hamaktsuos. Then it means that the neder is in effect until they fold up the maktsuos. Now, what are maktsuos? The Ran explains that maktsuos means the knives that they use for cutting the figs. Now, in fact, what they do is they cut the figs, and then what they often do is they dry them. You have it all over Shas where they have dried figs. They make them into katsios. In fact, they're called katsios because they're related to those word maktsuos. So they cut them into pieces, and then they dry them. So they use special knives for this purpose. These are folding knives, sort of like the folding knives that you can buy nowadays. They where the handle folds, where the blade folds down into the handle. So when there comes the point when most people have folded up their knives and put them away, at that point we say that the fig harvesting season is over. The point is, in other words, that figs, unlike other kinds of fruits, are not harvested all at one time. Figs, different ones on the tree, mature at different times. So you can't say that there's a point, let's say, when people have picked most of the figs, because there's always going to be more figs available during the season. In fact, there's a medrash that says that for that reason, Torah is compared to figs. Every time you look at the fig tree, you're going to find new ripe figs. The same way every time you learn Torah, you discover something new in it. Anyway, so only when people have folded up their knives to put them away, only then do we say the season is over. There are other Rishonim who learn, the Mefarish brings it over here, the Rambam holds it, that maktsuos means the mats that they use to dry the figs. They would put them out on mats because you don't want to put them on the bare ground, of course. Eventually, there comes the point when people roll up those mats and put them away. For next year, that would be Yachpilo HaMaktsuos. That would be Sheyachpilo HaMaktsuos. So the Gemara says, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, Kalkola Shamru, when we're talking about, we said that people are picking fruit and putting it in baskets, Kalkola Shal Ta'enim, but like Kalkola Shal Anavim. What we mean is baskets of figs, which are cut off, or the other way around. Niktsatzes is actually, they're picked by hand, therefore that's called Niktsatzes, V'loi kakola shal anavim, rather than not referring to baskets of grapes, because grapes, they actually use a knife to cut them off, and therefore that's not called Niktsatzes. The definition of Niktsatzes, again, the definition of kayets, we're saying, is related to the word kotsats, which means to cut off. When you pull them off by hand, is called tzitza. When you cut them off with a knife, it's called a different word. So therefore, called chaticha or whatever. So therefore, when he says the word kayitz, and again, we're saying it's related to a word for pulling off, then it has to mean figs.
Figs, you
pull them off the stems by hand, as opposed to grapes, because figs grow individually. So you just pick them off one by one by hand, as opposed to grapes grow in clusters. You're not going to be able to, you ever try breaking off a large piece of a grape cluster? You can't. You can only pick off the smaller bits from the cluster. Well, so therefore, So the knives are something else. After they harvest the figs, they use knives to cut up the figs in order to make them into igulei dvela.
In order to
dry them and make them into these cakes of pressed figs that you find all over Shas. So Tanya, we learn in a braisa, hanodim peiros hakayetz. In the same way, if a person makes a neder that he's not going to eat the fruit of kayetz, ain also elabateinim, then he's also only in figs for the same reason, because figs can be described as kayetz because you pull them off the tree by hand, as opposed to again grapes where you cut them, where you cut the stems off with a knife. Reb Shimon Gamliel, I'm anovim b'chal ta'enim. On the other hand, Reb Shimon Gamliel says that grapes are in the same category as figs. So the Gemara asks, my time at the Tanakama. So why does the Tanakama differentiate? Because kasava ta'enim b'katsan b'yoda. Because he says, like we said, figs you pull off the trees by hand. Anovim b'katsan b'yoda. Whereas grapes you don't. You have the clusters of grapes. You can't pull them off by hand. You use a knife to cut off the cluster from the vine. Reb Shimon Gamliel sava anovim nami kimiradadon b'katsan b'yoda. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel takes the view when the stems or the branches of the grapes are dry and hard, miradadan, the Ran explains kshiyobshu, when they're dry, then you can easily pull them off by hand. Or the Mefarish explains slightly differently, when the grapes are very ripe, then mikatsan biyada, then you can also pull them off by hand. So therefore, he says that can also be included in the category of kayets for the same reason. Even though it's true that during most of the harvesting season, you cut off the clusters with knives, but nevertheless, there does come a point at the end of the season when you can pull them off by hand, and therefore they can still be considered in the category of kayets. Okay. Shkoyach, everyone.
Thank you.